Welcome to How We Got There. I am your host, Mike Davis, founder of Go-to-Market Guides. I interview thought leaders and founders in the Salesforce ecosystem to help ISVs learn new things to try and mistakes to avoid. This episode of How We Got There is brought to you by ISV App. ISV App is used by leading Salesforce ISVs and OEMs as the central toolbox to reduce churn, increase renewals, identify upsell potential, and close more deals. ISV App is the only plug-and-play solution for the AppExchange App Analytics API and provides deep product insights. The setup is easy and takes less than 5 minutes. Visit isvapp.com, that's isvapp.com, to learn how you can take advantage of usage data in your app today. All right, I am here with Bethany Blackwell. She is a vice president at Carahsoft. Bethany, welcome to the podcast.
Mike, thank you. So happy to be here this afternoon.
So I guess to start, tell me a little bit about how you found your way into the Salesforce ecosystem.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So definitely by happenstance, I think, is maybe a lot of people that found themselves in the ecosystem kind of in the early days, I would say, did. It was about 12 years ago. I was looking for jobs. I just graduated from college and kind of fell into this role at Carahsoft. They said, hey, you want to do some outbound sales, right? It's this, you're going to work with this company called Salesforce. I looked up Salesforce and I said, this is interesting. I don't know if anybody in the public sector is going to be interested in a sales tool, but you know, let's give it a shot, right? And back in those early days with Salesforce public sector, we were really focused on some pretty high level solution sets for Salesforce. I remember the big one in the early days was we were looking to position volunteer management systems that were built on the early force.com platform. So it was definitely an exciting time, but we weren't getting a lot of excitement back yet from some of the public sector customers who were just not really understanding, well, what role does Salesforce have in the ecosystem that they lived in, you know, the government space. So, you know, that was 12 years ago. Fast forward to today, and Salesforce, you know, definitely has a role in all 50 states and then all of the cabinet level agencies too within the federal government. So it's been cool to kind of see it expand over the years.
Awesome. And I guess from a Carahsoft perspective, can you share a little bit about what Carahsoft does for Salesforce and for the broader ecosystem?
Absolutely. So Carahsoft is a value-added reseller. So we have been teamed with Salesforce for over 15 years now. Kind of started with Carahsoft held the GSA schedule for Salesforce, which is the government purchasing vehicle that a lot of federal customers would use to purchase different software products and still use today. There's a lot more contract vehicles today than there were probably 15 years ago, but that's really what Carahsoft's role for Salesforce was, so that they could be prepared to sell to public sector customers kind of as they started to build out their public sector practice. So that's, you know, from the contracting side of it, what my team does is we are a sales and marketing company at the end of the day for Salesforce and a number of other best of breed software companies that you can just check out at carahsoft.com. So we want to, you know, amplify the message that these customer or that these companies have to the public sector. So we're going to do, you know, sales, marketing campaigns, and then also help from a contract vehicle perspective. So, you know, we're working as an extension of all of Salesforce's teams right now.
Yeah. And I remember the first time that I was selling to state or federal, I forget which was first, and got introduced to you guys, and you just made it so easy to work with. Like for ISVs that haven't heard of Carahsoft, like when should they think about engaging with you? How should they think about Carahsoft and how you can help?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So there's, I think, a couple of different ways you can look at this, right? And I always tell ISVs that come to me and say, hey, I think we want to get into the government space. Well, it does take a level of commitment. So let's say, you know, option one where, hey, you're an ISV, you have a customer that's interested in your product, probably because you built a pretty cool product and customers have sought you out and found you. So in that case, you know, as soon as you have some level of interest from a customer, call my team, call Carahsoft, and we will work with you to get you onto the appropriate contract vehicle for that customer and what that customer is going to be able to use to purchase. So what you'll probably find, and, you know, hey, one of the reasons that resellers exist is customers have these kind of pre-competed contracts with, you know, advantageous terms, conditions, pricing, which allows them to purchase a lot of these software products more quickly than they could if they were to buy directly from a particular vendor, which in that case, they would maybe have to go out to an RFP process or, you know, something like that that's super time consuming. So we want to make sure that we're, you know, getting good pricing, good terms, good things like that to our government customers. So if you have a customer that, you know, is interested, call us right away because we'll work with you to get you added to the most appropriate contract vehicle at that time. So again, before you're really even any pricing discussions or something like that, if you haven't done any business with public sector before, call us, you know, earlier is better because we can kind of walk you through how that process works. The second time that I would say is, let's say, hey, maybe you've done a couple of deals with public sector, and this is something that you guys, you know, are really interested in taking a deep dive into. That's when, you know, we would want to sit down and meet with you and figure out, hey, what are your long-term goals in public sector? Do you plan on hiring, you know, a rep that is just going to cover public sector entities and customers? Because in that case, hey, we really want to plan with you and get involved with your go-to-market strategy. Because Carahsoft has a lot to offer in terms of value adds from, you know, proposal support, marketing support, webinars, customer information, on-site events for some of these public sector customers. That's where we can really help add some value to what you and your team want to do, getting into the public sector arena. I will say that it does take a commitment. And if you aren't at the point where you can have a full-time dedicated public sector resource selling on your side, it's going to be really hard to get a lot of value out of the investments that it does take to be part of the public sector. So those are probably the two different, you know, paths of entry, I would say. You know, the first one being fulfillment, where you have, you know, one customer or a handful of customers that, you know, are going to buy your product, you know, one-off. And the second would be, hey, you guys have a true public sector solution or a solution that, you know, a public sector entity, you know, is interested in, and, you know, you really want to be proactive at selling it and hire somebody, you know, whether in the DC area or somebody that's really just devoted to public sector and maybe has some public sector sales experience. That's when our team will want to, you know, sit down with you and talk to you about, you know, hey, what's the best strategy on how to go to market in this ecosystem?
Fascinating. And I mean, you said a lot there, which was awesome guidance. I guess, like, so it sounds like you're working with the Salesforce public sector team as well as ISVs. Is that correct? And if so, can you share a little bit about how your team works with the Salesforce AEs in public sector?
Absolutely. So we're truly aligned to the public sector AEs and how they are built out. At Carahsoft, we are a little bit different than maybe other VARs or definitely LARs that you may have heard of in the past. We're verticalized based off of product, right? So that's why I run what we call the Salesforce team over here, which includes Salesforce Core, it includes MuleSoft, it includes Slack, and then all of our AppExchange ecosystem, right? As well as some of the systems integrators that, you know, are working in the public sector arena right now. So what we realized kind of early on is, unless you have all of those pieces, you know, working harmoniously, it's harder to get stuff done in the government. So we're working to sell solutions to our public sector customers. We want to be able to offer them their core product, their MuleSoft product, their Tableau product, their ISV products, and then also, if they wish, you know, recommend some systems integrators to them, right, to bring it all together and create their case management solution or, you know, whatever the call to action is for that customer. customer and what they need at the end of the day. So we really truly align to the Salesforce core teams, which is divided into the federal space, which is civilian, and then Department of Defense, and then the state local space. And then we align to be cover West, Central, and Eastern states. And we have a team of about 60 salespeople that are only covering certain territories, whether it's, hey, they cover, you know, the state of Texas, or they cover the Department of Army. They are aligning with their counterparts from Salesforce, so they know what the use cases are for each of these different, you know, state or federal agencies. And they're working every single day with the Salesforce account executives, which we think is super important, especially when we are wanting to position, you know, ISVs as part of solutions. They know exactly who to go to. They can go and call the account executive or even the sales engineer for that particular territory and make sure that we can get the correct ISV product aligned with the AE, who's the one that, you know, really owns the relationship with these customers at the end of the day. Public sector is a really big space, but, you know, there are, you know, a handful of decision makers, I think, at every, you know, state, local, and federal entity. And Salesforce AEs have done a really good job to, you know, grow and nurture those relationships at the end of the day, which is why, you know, we want to make sure we're aligned to those folks and making sure that we understand what the customer's needs are at the end of the day, and then pairing them, you know, with our ISV partners and our systems integrators partners to create these single solutions for customers. Does that kind of make sense, I think, on how we're aligned?
Totally.
One thing I would say in addition to that, so those are all of our sales reps that are selling directly the core products to customers. We also do have a wonderful ISV team when our customers are buying these individually, which may come, you know, after a deal closes on the core side, they may add on ISVs at some point. So we have a whole separate team that's part of, you know, my team, but they don't deal in the core side of the house, whatever. They're totally dedicated to ISVs. So kind of like some overlay reps, that's their role as well.
Fascinating. I didn't know y'all had grown over 60 reps. That's amazing. I guess from an ISV standpoint, who do y'all work with today? And then if you can bleed that into some lessons learned, like what ISVs are really doing public sector well, and what are some mistakes folks can avoid?
Yeah, absolutely. So good question. You know, we're going to work with all of the ISVs that, you know, really it's dictated by the ecosystem, right? You know, who's needed as part of solution sets. So that's driven a lot by customers, and it's driven a lot by the systems integrators. And as well, you know, in public sector, some of the solutions engineers at Salesforce who are really putting together, you know, these custom solutions. Really, you think about it, and customers aren't buying Salesforce off the shelf and using it as a sales tool, as they may do in, you know, mid-market or other verticals within Salesforce. It's really all, you know, a little bit tweaked solution. So any ISV that, you know, has a solution that they sell into commercial, I always say it just takes a little bit of tweaking, and it can be a perfect solution for public sector too. Because at the end of the day, if you think about it, public sector, you know, there's so many citizen-centric applications. And when you look at, you know, some of the legislation that's coming down from the president and Congress that really put a focus on changing the way that the public sector is delivering services to citizens, there are so many opportunities for Salesforce and their AppExchange partners, right? To me, these AppExchange partners are extending the power of the platform and getting things up and running so much more quickly and showing a lot of value to our public sector customers. And so I think they're going to be super important, especially over the next 18 months, right? As we see some of these, the President's Management Agenda items really come to the forefront. You know, you think about it and, hey, if I have to make a DMV appointment, for example, it should be super easy. I shouldn't have to go take a ticket like the old days and wait in line for hours for them to call my ticket, right? And I think we are seeing a lot of improvements in things like that. I look back to the days during the pandemic. Some of the biggest solutions we saw coming out of Salesforce and our AppExchange partners was for for vaccine management, or before that, even contact tracing, right? You know, that's what Salesforce was going out and doing. And there were, you know, probably 20 or 30 states that use Salesforce for first for the contact tracing and then for the vaccine management. And, you know, you think about something like I said, the DMV making an appointment. Well, you had to make appointments for vaccines too. So we saw a huge influx for, you know, the certain AppExchange products, like, you know, you would see Schedulo, right? Hey, they would have to make some of the appointments as part of the overall solution to get the, you know, the vaccines rolled out to people. And it's not just a one-time solution. Like that's something that could be used at, you know, DMVs or many other places across the board. And, you know, when I call, you know, I live in Virginia. If I call the Virginia Department of Taxation, I should have one record for myself, right? I shouldn't have to then call into DMV and they have another record for myself. It makes it a little bit difficult, but we are seeing those changes in these citizen first applications. So we saw, you know, obviously a lot from the ISVs as part of these solutions during pandemic. And then we're seeing a huge influx of them, I think, moving forward too, because they have seen that there is so much to offer to customers, right? And customers are more comfortable with the cloud than they ever have before. So, you know, some of our biggest ISVs that we work with right now are, you know, Own Backup and Capato and WalkMe and Nintex, right? These guys are the ones that have really, they have a public sector presence and they've invested in public sector, right? I would say, hey, they're all in, they have sales teams, we work with their marketing teams, and we're making sure that, you know, that our customers are familiar with them. They're also investing, you know, where it makes sense in the FedRAMP process, right? Which we could probably spend a whole nother podcast doing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Talk to us about like a little bit about FedRAMP too, because it's not an inexpensive or a minor commitment. And so, yeah, I guess for folks that aren't familiar with FedRAMP, if you can share a little bit about that, because I know that's a big thing around federal.
Absolutely. So it's funny, Carahsoft's CEO will probably tell you, hey, FedRAMP is the single best government program that they've put in place as it, you know, relates to IT and industry over the last 10 years. A set of standards essentially that's put in place for cloud platforms. So any cloud products that, you know, somebody in the public sector wants to purchase, it's kind of that first stamp of approval that says, hey, this product is secure. We're okay as a government entity putting our data into this product, right? So it's been around for, you know, not quite probably 10 years now, right? But the program is great, but it also does, like you said, take a big investment of both money and time to become a part of. So when we kind of talk about, you know, who are the most successful, you know, ISV partners, right? It really just depends, right? Are you willing and able to invest in, you know, FedRAMP? I would say, you know, if you want to be all in public sector, it's something you absolutely have to do, right? The government gives you a set of standards. You're going to work with third party assessment firms, and they're going to go through and say, hey, yes, this is, you know, your cloud is going to check all the boxes essentially for that. That's just kind of one part of the process. And there's kind of some different pieces that you would want to think about. There's also the fact that, hey, are you a native application, right? Because if that's the case, you're inheriting a lot of the parts of the Salesforce platform that have already gone through the FedRAMP process. So if you're native, you're going to take a different path, right, altogether, and kind of be a little bit ahead, right? So I think that we could probably do a whole nother session on that, but you know, the short answer is, hey, FedRAMP is the first check the box for if you're working to sell into the federal space. It is the security piece that tells government agencies that you are able to be sold and used in the public sector. And I kind of will say there is also what they call StateRAMP, which is basically going to be the state and local version of FedRAMP. The good news is it's really just going to inherit a lot of the controls that are already in place with FedRAMP. So if you get FedRAMP, you'll be right on your way to StateRAMP as well.
Beautiful. No, I could talk to you all day, all this stuff. But for just so we're crystal clear, because I get this misconception all the time around SOC 2 specifically, but FedRAMP as well. Like, being native helps you with the physical infrastructure and all of that, but it's not FedRAMP, SOC 2, Type 2, it's bigger than that. And so a lot of ISVs confuse that because they're native, they're automatically the same as Salesforce, but that's not the case. Just to be crystal clear with folks.
Yes, just because you can install on the GovCloud platform, which is what Salesforce calls their FedRAMP platform, there's still additional hurdles that you have to go to, you know, plus, you know, not to get in the weeds necessarily, but a lot of agencies do require unique agency ATOs, which is an authority to operate. So even though you may be FedRAMP, you then have to go through the ATO process, right? Unless you went and got, you know, JAB approval, which is the overarching approval for many agencies. And then there is one step beyond that, if you're getting into the DoD space, they have different impact levels. IL4, IL5, IL6 is what they call them. So while FedRAMP is a great baseline, just do know that there are going to be other hurdles to overcome as you are working with different customers and with Salesforce. So we've got lots of great recommendations of folks that you can talk to if you have more specific questions about it.
Perfect. And before we get into engaging with Carahsoft, if folks are interested in learning more, just looping back to the ISVs that you and your team have worked with, what's a mistake to avoid for folks that are maybe just starting to dip their toe into federal or state and just thinking about engaging with Carahsoft?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. You know, it's hard because a lot of people, I feel like, think, oh, yes, you know, we want to do government, right? We want to sell to government, and they don't realize, you know, it's a lot of work. It's not a part-time job. You know, it's a full-time job to really have these qualifications, right? Because you do have to have other government customers and qualifications to work in the public sector. So like what I kind of alluded to earlier, you've got to, you know, invest and hire, you know, a salesperson that is just going to sell to public sector only, and then also be prepared along our FedRAMP conversation to know that there's going to be different, you know, security hurdles that you're going to have to overcome. So there's definitely some, you know, upfront investments in that, but you know, it's very lucrative when you can get, you know, through those. And the, you know, the guys that we've seen, you know, the most successes with from our, you know, our partners in the ISV space, you know, the Clarities and the Exams and folks like that, they are truly, you know, invested in public sector, and they do have public sector teams, right? That's what they do. So I think that that's going to be probably the biggest mistake that we see people make. Hey, we want to be in public sector. And then, you know, they come back to Carahsoft, you know, a year later and say, well, we've only done one sale. And I'm like, well, do you have anybody, you know, helping us full time with this? And well, no. Well, you know, you've got to have somebody full time invested in this, right? And that's going to get a lot more traction.
Hey, Bethany, where's my money? I want my money. So I guess just tactically, if public sector, federal, state, local is of interest, can you talk through like what the process for an ISV would look like, how long it takes and stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So good question. And there's a couple of different ways to answer this, right? First, what I would say, if you're interested in partnering with Carahsoft or re-engaging your partnership with Carahsoft, right, we've got over 100 ISVs signed up right now, but I know a lot of them are for just pure fulfillment opportunities where, hey, we're not totally invested in public sector, but you know, we need a contract vehicle to get a deal done. You know, reach out to our team. We're really trying to build out our ISV team now just to, you know, continue to support not only the folks that are all in public sector, but the folks that know that there's going to be investment and want to kind of take that next step. You know, reach out to us. We're salesforce@carahsoft.com, and Carahsoft is spelled Carahsoft. I do say that because it's a silent H and it does get written sometimes. So reach out to us and we'll have kind of an introductory meeting. We've got a couple of people on the team that are super fantastic to work with. You know, we've got Elizabeth who helps with onboarding, right? She'll take you through all of the paperwork. She knows it inside and out, help you develop what your public sector price list looks like, walk through what contract vehicles we can get you on immediately, which ones are kind of more long-term, and then, you know, where you can focus your time from that perspective. So that's kind of, you know, one thing when you ask about timing. Hey, there's some contracts where, hey, if you sign all the paperwork with us today, I can have you on contract tomorrow. There are some where, hey, we submit once a month and it may be, hey, 6 weeks type of lead time. And then there are some contracts where we're totally beholden to the government, you know, reviewing certain terms and conditions. And it could take, you know, 6 to 12 months, just depending on how fast they want to move that particular day. So I will say there's always a contract vehicle that you can leverage that's quick enough that we can recommend to your customers. So if anybody is listening to this and, you know, they've been in talks with customers and a deal is kind of sputtering because they don't have a contract vehicle, reach out to us. I think we can probably help you. So that's kind of the tactical piece of it. And then there's the other piece, which is kind of the sales and marketing side of that. And that's some offerings, you know, that we want to provide to ISVs that are really wanting to make their mark in public sector, or especially if they have a public sector focused application, right? And those are some things that we can work with them on, whether it's a quarterly newsletter that goes out to all of our Salesforce customers. We're starting to get back into my favorite events, which are the on-site innovation days that we sponsor with Salesforce. Those are mostly state and local focus, but it's great because we go and get customers to come in and talk about all the really cool things they're doing with Salesforce. And ISVs have historically been a really big part of these solution sets. So we would like to have different speaking opportunities for ISV customers or sponsorship opportunities, because it's great visibility at the state level for some of these customers. So we're just getting back into those again, obviously post, you know, COVID era. So that's an offering that we have as well. You know, sometimes folks will want to do webinars, which are great, especially if we can get a customer speaker. If you're kind of an established ISV and have a customer speaker that can talk about your solution, that's going to get a lot of traction in the industry as well. So when we're onboarding, you will kind of talk to you kind of about those options and what the offerings are that we can provide to you. And again, all of this is totally free of charge, and we'll, you know, walk through that during the onboarding process, right? So first is the kind of the paperwork side, which can be really quick, hopefully. And then the second is kind of the sales and marketing. How are we, you know, getting your guys' name out there and taking you guys to market in this industry?
Man, so much value add. Plus, I mean, just from experience, it was almost too good to be true working with Carahsoft in a lot of cases where it's just like, we had somebody who purchased care. That's actually a good question. If people are working with federal, state, or local government, just asking if they purchase Salesforce licenses through Carahsoft, because then it's very clear you should be getting set up with Carahsoft. But like the purchasing process and the payment process and all of that was like too good to be true from my experience as a salesperson in the past. So It's and I didn't even know of all the value added stuff that you.
Yeah, we try and make it super easy. I will say, I always tell every single partner, hey, if you're working with a customer and you get the chance to talk to procurement, or you can, you know, get, you know, some time with procurement, ask them how they buy, right? They probably have a state contract vehicle, or they have a preferred partner, or there's some sort of mechanism that they are used to doing. And I am a big believer of do not reinvent the wheel. So if you have customers and you get the chance to ask them, and then I can help interpret that for you, right? Even if what they tell you sounds like a different language, bring it back to Carahsoft and we can help you out, because we're probably familiar with whatever contract vehicle they're talking about or process or whatever it may be. So hopefully we can demystify some of that for the listeners.
Carahsoft has the Rosetta Stone for government lingo. Bethany, what are you most proud of from your work at Carahsoft?
So I have to say, it's probably my team. When I started, there were two of us that were supporting, you know, Salesforce, right, as a vendor. And we kind of took that and built this ecosystem. And, you know, I now have teammates that are managing the same customers that, you know, I managed 12 years ago when I started. And it just, I think, kind of shows, like, between the great work that Salesforce does and, you know, our team and working together, the customer retention rate is fantastic. You know, we've grown so exponentially. We've got, you know, full team members that cover individual states now, because it's just so important, because states are buying all of their Salesforce Core and MuleSoft and Tableau and AppExchange products via, you know, one contract. So it's really important for, you know, our team to manage it, and I couldn't do it without them. So it's just really cool to kind of see how everything, you know, has grown. And, you know, we're not talking about, you know, small deals necessarily. We have, you know, customers that are buying millions and millions of dollars a year in just AppExchange products, right? And so my team managing that, making sure we have, you know, the right pricing, price lists, ability for customers to purchase, making sure our customers are getting the best deals possible. It's just been amazing just to kind of see the growth over the last decade.
Awesome. And what are you working on right now? What's your team working on in regards to the Salesforce ecosystem?
Yeah, so good question. You know, obviously it's just continuing to grow and making sure we're onboarding any, you know, new AppExchange partners that are kind of coming into the ecosystem. But what we really want to do is, how do we take what we've built here and replicate it for other similar industries? There's, you know, if you look out there, there is, you know, Slack has its own set of plugins. MuleSoft has connected apps, and, you know, Zoom has, you know, an app store, right? So how do we kind of take what we've done for the Salesforce AppExchange, and with a couple of, you know, revamps, how do we do that for other similar vendors that are in the ecosystem that I know our customers are just, you know, itching to get to as well? So that's what we want to do, is take this and make this repeatable.
Beautiful. And we're going to wrap up today with the final three questions, 10 second answers, ready to go.
Okay, sure. I'll try and keep it under 10 seconds. I'm sure I can.
Who is one company or person in the ecosystem that you track or follow?
Okay. Hard question. I'm going to say a group of people. So always, I'm watching all the Salesforce competitors, right? Whether it's, you know, the big technology companies or kind of the new startup ankle biters, right, for Salesforce. As they say, imitation is the highest form of flattery. So if there are others that are out there that are still trying to do what Salesforce and its ecosystem is doing, then I think I'm still in the right place, right? The moment that people aren't trying to copy us, then I'm going to get a little bit worried. And they're still trying to copy Salesforce and everybody right now. So that's what I'm keeping my eye on.
Nice. And what would you tell yourself day one working in the ecosystem?
I would tell myself day one, when I'm making cold calls to promote different events we're doing for Salesforce, is not say that it's Salesforce. I would just say, hey, are you interested in a cloud platform? Because the sales part was really throwing off the public sector customers early in the day. I think we've gotten over that now, but I think I could have really advanced how quickly we're moving if we wouldn't say Salesforce every single time. So
I could have. And lastly, what gives you energy in your personal life?
I guess coffee isn't a good enough answer, but that's definitely important. But honestly, you know, people always are like, oh, what do you do in your personal life versus your work life? Well, we spend a lot of our lives in general working, right? So I don't think I would be truly as happy in my personal life if I didn't enjoy what I did in my work life. And I get to wake up and do something different every single day. Like I said, I've been doing this for over 10 years, but it's still different every single day. So I feel this energy in my work life. And I think that kind of helps translate into my personal life too, right? Doing something different and I like what I do. So it's really, I feel very lucky and very blessed to be in this position.
Awesome. Well, I feel very lucky to have had you on this podcast. I can't wait to share this with the community, and thanks so much for the work that you do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This was great. I appreciate it. And again, if anybody, you know, has any questions or any follow-ups from this, we'd love to talk to them. But Mike, thank you very much. This has been so much fun.
Wonderful.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you learned something from today's episode of How We Got There. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. I'll see you here next time.